This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the Battery Doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy.
If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you.
It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to The Connection, a weekly radio program where we share our experiences and expertise with stories of caring, courage, and change right here in Connecticut. Listen to learn about needed resources to improve your well-being and transform your life. Now, here are the hosts of The Connection, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore and Ann Baldwin.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're doing well. Welcome to another edition of The Connection. As you just heard, I'm Ann Baldwin, one of the hosts of this program. And Lisa DeMattis-Lepore is also here with me virtually. You know, I miss that. I miss seeing your face. I miss our conversations. I miss our hugs.
I do, too.
Makes me sad. But at least the show can go on, right? The show must go on. You know, and it's been the year from hell for so many people. And we won't sit here and complain, because hopefully we've got some good news to share with folks today, Lisa, on this program. You know, as everybody is well aware, the first COVID vaccines came into our state this week, and we're very excited to have. It was wall to wall media coverage and just fantastic. So, with us today, we're so fortunate to have Keith Grant, who is the senior system director of infection prevention at Hartford Healthcare and also an APRN. Keith, thank you for being on the program. There's so many questions that Lisa and I want to ask you, and we want to get a sense of everything that's happened this week. So thank you for taking time. I know it's busy over there, for being on the program. So why don't we start with, tell us what it's like. Tell us, what was it like when you saw those first COVID vaccines roll into Hartford Healthcare and Hartford Hospital?
Yeah. Morning, guys. Thank you so much for having me. It's hard to state that there was a moment of joy that accumulated, like all moments of sadness we've had in the last few months, especially the despair that we had in the first few weeks, not entirely knowing how to approach this from a treatment perspective. If you see, or the number of patients we had while caring for patients in our critical care unit, it was clear that we had our challenges for treatment across the country, globally at least. So this time we're picking up a package that's 95% effective in protecting individuals against the vaccine. So that's pretty significant. So pure joy, significant hope, and listening to the introduction you guys have, you know, pretty soon, based on the vaccine, you'll be able to have your show again in normal circumstance, where you guys are having your hugs and you're doing it face to face. And that's the hope that this package had in it.
Well, so you've been on the front lines, I understand, Keith, and you've cared for those critically ill patients. Does this give those folks hope as well?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there is people who, you know, are critical care nurses, you know, are custodial folks, people who bring food to or patients, every individual across the system. You could see the difference in, you know, at this point in time, we do have something that you're at most at risk. We appreciate the effort you've put in place, but we'll be able to provide not just PPE, but vaccination. And from our patient perspective, you know, we know they're singular population, very vulnerable population. If you look at data for nursing homes, some nursing homes with mortality rate upwards of 40%. So it's a significant hope. So in some areas, it's not just about the potential of getting back to social gathering and what life is like normal, but you're literally providing life-saving hope to many individuals and to entire communities.
Well, and Lisa, you know, you just brought your elderly mother here, and I'm caring for an elderly father, and that's what I think about, is just, you know, those folks who have been fortunate to this point not to get COVID, but we just never know, right, Lisa? You just don't know. I mean, your mother's been tested repeatedly, and you live with that fear every day.
I do. I live with the fear of that and, you know, difficult decisions. We have to be so vigilant now more than ever, right? And because the numbers are just popping everywhere, and it just, I you know, you wonder sometimes, what is it going to take for people to realize that this is really life and death? And it's been such a difficult year. It's just been really hard. It's just...
Absolutely. And I think the crazy thing about it is, you know, the things that we look forward to, right? So we look for a treatment from a medical community, from a science body, right? So we constantly look for a treatment. So we move from... you know, having the majority of our patients in the critical care, getting critical care, getting intubated. So very quickly in this, you know, one of the big things were about the, you know, ventilation and ventilator care. We move from that and we move from another process, but we're still losing a significant amount of patients. So from a clinical perspective, it was still very challenging. I've never, you know, it's so humbling because, you know, the infectious disease community and including myself, I don't think I've ever been in a moment where it was acceptable to say, I don't know. I have absolutely no idea how to address this patient. I have no idea what to tell you your next step should be. We'll do what we've been doing, but so far it doesn't seem to be working. And when you talk to other healthcare systems across the country, this is exactly it. So having this now level of hope, exceptionally good. But, you know, I have to say that the things that you want to appreciate, that we want to appreciate through this, and even when this is gone, the collaborative effort that we've seen across the state with, you know, different health systems, different regulatory bodies, and there's different groups helping people through this, absolutely exceptional. So if any good comes out of this, you know, when this is all said and done, like exceptional collaboration and, you know, very good understanding of the needs of what our fellow men were going through. So not too shabby.
Not too shabby. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Keith Grant, who is an APRN and really has been on the front lines as a Senior System Director of Infection Prevention at Hartford Healthcare. Keith, you know, one of the things, and we talk about social media, and let's talk about mainstream media in general, and I'd like to hear it right from you, because there is a lot of back and forth, or people have, you know, different views on whether they will get the vaccine when it's available or whether they won't. From someone who's been there and seen it and seen people lose their lives to COVID, what do you say to people when they say, I don't, or I don't think I'm going to get the vaccine? What's your message?
So, you know, if you said to any of us that there's a vaccine, it's available, go get it. And when you think about like all the political scripting around it, the next step I would say to anyone is go out and get informed. So, you know, one of the things, and I was fortunate to be a part of the Governor's Scientific Advisory Group, and that basically forced me and my team to be involved in every process of, as soon as information comes out, getting the information and scripting and going through a multitude of pages of information and appreciating the science behind it. And hence one of the primary reasons why I was very comfortable with being one of the first person to step forward and say, I'll get the vaccine. Because when you look at the safety profile of the vaccine, exceptional. If you look at the efficacy of the vaccine, you're looking at a vaccine that's significantly better than the vaccine that we're comfortable with taking every single year, which is the influenza vaccine. That has helped significantly with reducing mortality and preventing the spread of influenza. So when you look at the broad spectrum of it, it was a very easy decision, but it needed to be informed. And that's one of the things I keep saying to individuals, please go out and get informed. The data is online. You know, go review the process. And the skepticism is not just from, you know, our laypersons. I have healthcare providers that would reach out to me. And, you know, it's funny because I have people who are reaching out to me just to see how I'm doing because they're basing whether or not they're taking the vaccine based on that. So uh-huh. I have friends that are plotting on grass right now saying, well, it's been 2 days and he hasn't grown an extra leg. So I would say just get informed, stay informed. And when you think you get it and you decide to make the decision either way, I think that's the opportunity for you to start getting other people informed as well.
Right. If you have a good experience and, you know, people want to see the results. But then there's a shot two. So you haven't had shot two yet, right?
I haven't had shot two yet. So at this point in time, not having shot two, you know, we know shot two provides a 95%. It's hard to really use shot one. The period, a breakpoint with shot one, but breakpoint, I think, after 7 days, had some significant increase in antibodies. So I still have some level of protection very soon, but after shot two, I should be good.
So does that pose a bit of a logistical problem? It's kind of like the shingle shot, right? You've got to get two different doses within a certain period of time. That's, I guess, just how the antibodies work. Or can you explain why that's a necessity? And do you think it'll ever get down to a one-shot deal?
So, you know, that's a very good question. So a few things that we can think about in it. It's one's like almost a booster. You're basically going back and, you know, allowing the system to make some more antibodies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one way that I've looked at it, and this is not conclusive from Pfizer, any statement from Moderna or Pfizer, is the fact that instead of giving a certain level or dosage, you're able to give, not like there's any question about safety for any dosage at this point, but you're able to give half the dose first and then you move on to the second. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that I have no real idea, and this is how the studies have shown to be effective, and we're grateful.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, who's at Hartford HealthCare within your system? How many shots have been given? Are you guys out now, or are the doses continuing to arrive at your facility?
We'll get a few more dosage with actually way more than a few more dosage within the next few days or process. I think the logistical piece that you spoke of, I think that is not just with the first dose, not just with the second dose. With the first dose, you know, it's definitely still challenging getting stuff to and from. Remember, the Pfizer vaccine requires significant extreme temperatures. It's -60 to -80 for storage. So working out those level of logistics. So we're not even halfway through our allotment, but we're getting a lot of people interested, and that's the exciting piece of it.
Right. So Lisa, who obviously is part of this program, runs a nonprofit agency, and you know, so many different programs within that, dealing with mm-hmm. with various kinds of patients, Lisa, and I'll let you speak to that. So when do you think, like, the nonprofits and the folks like that work at the Connection, because you've done that at Hartford HealthCare and Hartford Hospital,
right,
where you said mm-hmm. you said not just the nurses, not just the doctors, but anybody who's exposed to those mm-hmm. patient rooms comes first.
You know, when you look at the gravity of it all, like, we have millions of people within Connecticut that we hope needs to be vaccinated. At this point, we don't have millions off vaccines. And I think, you know, there's good and bad in that. I think the good in that, it gives us some time to get our systems up and running. But within the next few months, I assume we'll be in a position that we will have a supply that will, you know, come very close to matching the demand that some people who are willing to get the vaccine.
Keith, I have another question, because these vaccines, from what I understand, are free, right?
That's correct.
So who's footing the bill for this? That might be a stupid question, but I'd like to hear. You know, I've heard all kinds of things, but who's paying for this?
I think it's, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it's the federal government who is funding this whole process. I know it is indeed free, and I know there's been obviously significant funding that went into the process of expediting the development of the vaccine.
Now, we're also expecting another version of the vaccine, correct? And is that going to help things, and what kind of confidence do you have in that?
So the Moderna vaccine is 94.1% effective. It is easier to manage in that you are able to store it at normal freezer temperature. So, you know, working when you consider the potential of having smaller institutions or your healthcare providers being able to vaccinate their population of patients and community members, this probably is the vaccine that you'd more likely use, right? Because to expect a normal doctor's office to front the bill to put a refrigerator together, that's going to be negative 60 to negative 80, that you probably will never use again, right?
Right.
Versus the Moderna vaccine. So safety profile is very similar to the Pfizer vaccine. The technology, the mRNA technology, is very similar as well. So, you know, I'm very, very excited. I think the initial allotment from that vaccine should be pretty significant, at least what we're hearing right now. So that should help to complement or what we have now, and we'd be able to hopefully, within those two allotments, get to a very good level with vaccinating our colleagues.
Tell us, please, what we can look forward to in 2021. I know that we won't hold you to it.
So this is the thing that I'm excited about. So I'll tell you what I'm excited about from a nerdy perspective, and then I'll go into something that less nerdy. So if this ever happens again, we now have a technology that gives us the ability that, what I believe, and I think that a lot of this, you know, science community agrees with, that we're able to pivot really quickly. So if this happens again, we'll be able to get to a vaccine state much quicker. That's one. So that's a huge bundle of hope, right? The other step, the next step, is the fact that, you know, having the vaccine available and having the ability and now the logistics of actually administering the vaccine, you're right, significant amount of things that we've been able to, we've missed out on, graduation. I think some of the saddest things for me is people having family members pass away in the hospital but not able to be
alone.
There. Exactly. Hospitals needing to make decisions to prevent visitors from coming in, separating families from the actual healing process, people passing away and going to, there's funerals with, you know, a restriction to how many people can be there. So, you know, in the saddest of moment, to the weddings that had to be canceled, childbirth that had a single person within the room, you know, when you look across the spectrum, there's significant impact that this vaccine, the efforts that we will put in maintaining, you know, universal masking over the next few weeks, or discipline, the things that will get us to a significantly better place. And what that better place, I think, will look like is a much better place than we were before, because we do have hope based on the technology we have now for vaccine. We do have the essence of the collaborative efforts that we've used over the last few months to keep us alive. And I think although this has kept us so much apart, I really do believe that the efforts that this pandemic has forced us to do has gotten us, will get us significantly closer in the future.
Well, you know, and Keith, you really put this in perspective, and I want to thank you for that, because I personally I feel selfish. Here I am talking about, you know, my daughter couldn't get married, or, you know, couldn't have my dad over for dinner. But you've been on the front line seeing people pass away alone. You've seen the reality of this COVID-19, and I haven't seen that, you know. So I'm really fortunate. And you put things into perspective for me, is because I can't imagine. I can't imagine the lives lost. I can't imagine what so many people have gone through. You know, Lisa, we see it on social media, people that we know who've lost loved ones to COVID. It's horrific.
Mm-hmm. The fear, though, the fear of that happening is so real, though. And we're not out of the woods yet. And I think that that is not to, I'm not being negative, but I'm saying that it's just as severe as it always has been.
Absolutely.
And that message needs to get out and get clear. And just because you're getting a vaccine doesn't mean that all of a sudden you can lax on, you know, CDC guidelines or PPE or do anything, because we still have a long way to go. And I just want people to understand that, you know, in general, because it just, it scares me. It just worries me. We're not out of the woods yet. We see the light at the end of the tunnel, right, which is great, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We're going to get there, but we still have a long haul to go. If I were to ask you, because I've heard this on the news and media, et cetera, time frame, is it fair to say that not until maybe September? I mean, realistically.
I think August into September, we should see a different plan.
Okay.
So, you know, when this started, I one of the things that I said, like, I've made a list of people, like, within my family and close around that I think are highest risk if they get this disease. Their chances of survival would be very limited, very low. And within that list, one person passed away, very sadly. And there's one person that I think is top on my list still, who is my 88-year-old grandmother. And, like, whenever I go visit her from afar, like, I will communicate with her the fact that, you know, as soon as I got the vaccine, I went over and, you know, very socially distancing, having a discussion with her, in that we still got to wait a few more months, right? No one still get to come over, you know, but at the same time, to have that visceral, that level of discussion, very, very scary. So, you know, I'm hoping by August, September, we'll see some differences. We'll be able to change some rules. That will, you know, improve our socialization and our communication. But
Our businesses, you know, everybody's
absolutely
talking about the restaurants. I mean, but so many industries and so many businesses are suffering. The economic impact of this is just, it's been devastating. It's been
absolutely
devastating to people's lives. So, you know, like you said, and Lisa, you bring up a good point. This isn't the time to let your guard down. This is the time to stay vigilant, do what you got to do, and hopefully people like Keith Grant won't be seeing more people in their critical care COVID unit because somebody else didn't do what they were supposed to. I mean, you know, everybody, you got to be sensitive to the people out there that are, you know, you got people with pre-existing conditions, you got people with reduced immunity, you've got all these folks out there, and just your average person. And it's just a selfish thing not to be careful, not to be cautious, and let's get through this damn thing so that hopefully
absolutely
we can just, you know, I'm going to take that great big Sharpie and black out damn 2020 because it sucks for everybody. I think we can say that. That's very fair. So we just have about a minute left. Keith Grant, I got to tell you, you've been one of my favorite guests on the show, and we've been doing it a long time. I really appreciate your information.
I do.
Yeah, and your candor and just, you know, realistically sharing with us from your perspective what you've seen and what you continue to see. So what's your best piece of advice for people in about a minute or 30 seconds, if you can do that?
You know, what happens in the hospital and in the healthcare systems across the country, not just at Hartford Healthcare, if you get sick, we will ensure that the best care is brought forward. We'll ensure that if it gets to a point that we need to communicate with your family and things aren't going well, they're getting supported as well. And now that we do have a vaccination, we'll make sure that it's available whenever we can to the community. But before we get to that point, one of the things that have worked and continue to work, not just in the state of Connecticut, not just in this country, but across the world, is some very simple things. So, you know, social distancing, physical distancing, identify the people within your household that are highest risk, within your community that are highest risk. Communicate with them safely about the right things to do. Ensure that you're wearing your mask, universal masking, as much as possible. And one of the most important things, I do believe still, if you have any form of symptoms, just stay away, get tested. You know, remember, a test is a snapshot in time, but get tested as soon as possible and just be safe.
Keith, your passion just comes shining through, and I'd like to invite you back back on the show in a couple of months so that we can talk to you and we can get an update about where we are in Connecticut and how things are going.
Absolutely.
But I'm just so grateful for your commitment and your passion, as Ann said, and all that you're doing. Thank you. I just couldn't be more grateful for the work you're doing. So on behalf of my agency and my staff, I know that they're going to be really grateful to hear this show today.
Absolutely. Good. You guys have a good day.
Well, we're not done yet. I got to say an official goodbye, Keith Grant.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, this is great information, and I hope that our listeners appreciate it. And as usual, thank you to Keith Grant, Director of Infection Prevention, and to the entire Hartford healthcare system. You all do an amazing job and truly do appreciate everything that you're doing for all of us. And, of course, we want to thank our listeners for tuning in to this edition of The Connection right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
Too often, green laundry detergents come with a compromise. They're better for the planet, but worse at the one thing that matters most, cleaning your clothes. Dirty Labs believes you shouldn't have to lower your standards for the sake of sustainability. Using advanced green chemistry, they created a detergent that uses an entirely new cleaning engine, inspired by the genius of nature. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.